All right, I'm ready. You guys ready? It's the Weekly Dose of Fat, show number 125 for Friday, March 24th, 2017.
You went and did it. Here's a weekly dose of fat. This is a big one. I'm dying. You hear that, Elizabeth? We got Sven and Zito here in the studio. I'm coming to join you, honey.
God, you are foxy. That is hot.
Is it already time for the talking? And, welcome to the show. Over in that corner, the colorful Mr. J.K. Livin.
Ah, red.
Red. He's red. Color. He's red today. You, sir, are a legend.
I thought it was Fox.
Weekly Dose of Fat is brought to you today by a big fat dummy. Learn more about fat and dummies at sillybikes.com.
Dummy. Hey, JK. What's on the show this week?
Well, we start the show with the event of the week. We chat with Surly brand manager Paul Ziegel about his Arrowhead 135 experiences and many things, Surly. We share links from the internet. We check in with the Fatty Farm Field Report, brought to you by 1UP USA. And in our special segment, we talk to Fat Bike Berkey Women's Champion, Leah Schneeberger.
Leah.
Schneeberger.
Leah?
See how he just goes from, like entertaining pitch man to... he's like a professional.
The big one, little bit.
That big one, little
top,
bit.
Top of the hill.
Top of the hill, boys.
Here you go. Oh, game on.
Cheers.
Clink. Cheers. Clunk. So what? Last Friday was the traditional St. Patty's Day shuffle. How'd that go for you?
A mini lap, but it was concentrated.
Yeah, that was good.
A mini lap.
Well, yeah. I think we met at Patty's about 10:30, 11 o'clock.
A little further south, got down to the Brady Street Nomad Zone.
Yep.
Good stuff. Back, and then that's, did you guys make it by the Claire?
No, we didn't go that far south.
I had deliveries by the Nomad and deliveries by the Claire. Or no, by the Claire and somewhere else had a tent. It's one of those Mick bars, you know?
Mick bar.
Yeah. It was it was block party thing, the same way that they
we're not Chicago,
crafts.
But we're a distant second.
That trilogy
in the Mick thing. Hey. Ladies and gentlemen.
One fell in the river.
It's Travis McBickle. Hi, Travis.
Yes, Travis.
Hey,
what's going on?
How's it going,
on?
Travis?
Well,
good, man. Good. Just got back from a dog ride. 31 degrees, sunshine. And we still got a lot of base, a lot of snow. It's fantastic.
Nice. Is it still, what's the daylight like there? Is it still daylight there?
Oh, it's ramping up. Our sun's setting about 8:45 now.
Whoa.
So, you know, night rides, you're not even really starting till 9:30.
Whoa. What time is it there right now?
5.
Whoa.
5 in the p.m.
That's awesome.
All right, 8:04 here, and it's...
we're from the future.
It's dark. It's dark
it's
right now.
It's dark here in the outside.
It's just getting dark.
It's dark in the outside now here at the 44th parallel.
What time zone is that you're in? Is that that's not Pacific.
It's zone, Alaska Standard.
All right. Wow. Is that its own zone?
It's a big place.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I know it's a big place, but it's also like where it's placed on the planet obviously doesn't have anything else in the zone.
It's right by the it's right by the black hole, pretty close.
You know what I'm saying?
So, we got an event of the week this week.
Yeah, the event of the week is Fatty Fool's Day, coming up on April 1st and 2nd at the Maverick Mountain Ski Area in western Montana.
That's almost eastern Idaho there, pretty much.
Idaho?
Idaho.
What'd you say about my mama?
The Fatty's Fool's Day is a festival and fat bike extravaganza. It's being held at the Maverick Mountain Ski Area. They're going to have demo bikes provided by a handful of their great supporting shops in the area. And fat bike skis, I didn't know what this was, so I had to look it up. So, and there's a link in the show notes to what it is, but it's a fat bike, but with a ski, like a ski jar ski on the front of it. Actually, kind of fun.
I'd rip it.
Especially on a downhill. Look great.
I'd rip it.
So you can demo one of those there.
But you know what's better than that? Having a fucking wheel on front.
Whee! So for all you with wheels on the front, there'll be lift access so you can go up to the top and ride down without even pedaling. Live music, food, beer, hot springs, and an optional group ride, poker run, pub crawl on the part of the Great Divide cycling route.
Did you rehearse that part?
No.
That flowed pretty well.
Right? Though. I like it's that. Just because it kind of bounced right off the tongue. You can learn more about that at Ski Maverick Ice Man. .com.
Honorable mention this week.
That's right. That's right, Maverick. I am dangerous.
The honorable mention for this week's event of the week is the release of the 33 city tour. New Belgium is planning for this year's Tour de Fat. And it's got Fat in the title.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people ride fat bikes on the Tour de Fat.
Now they're calling it the Fat Bike Tour. I saw something today where they referred to fat bikes.
Huh.
Yeah, just on Facebook.
Well, fat tire.
Yeah, the fat tire.
Yeah, they're loading the fat tire.
Tour de Fat.
Yeah.
So there's 33. We're not in. No, Milwaukee again. Missed out again. Madison is as close as
it gets
to here.
You know why Milwaukee missed out?
Because we had too much fun here?
Because they dropped the fucking ball and didn't show up. It was too hot. It was like 95 degrees the last time they were here, which, all right, it's hot, but I don't know. I was really disappointed. I went down to the lakefront, and there was nobody there. And those people, they work really hard and put on a really good show, and the bands that they have are world-class. And
yeah,
the entertainer
is
world-class.
AWOL Nation is at
and
one of the things. Wow.
Beer you drink is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Like
They are a good... You know, like we should Chicago get one of those guys on. I know a couple of those guys.
Well, you know who's one of their main guys?
Coleman.
The marketing manager is one of the guys that owns Moon Men Bikes. So we could talk titanium bikes and fat bike.
That makes sense.
New Belgium marketing.
Yeah. And I thought the roots were Chicago.
No.
The band?
Or am I thinking of something?
Negative.
The band?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Or am I getting my wires crossed?
We can do it. We have.
I don't know how you got on Chicago or bands. We were talking about.
This is because
Tour de Fat schedule.
Yeah, everybody. So it's like Third Eye Blind is in Asheville, 1,000 Horses, Charlotte, blah, 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 blah. Corey Harper, AWOL Nation, Boston, Massachusetts, Skibbity, Scoobity, Scobbity, Skib.
I'm missing all this.
Yeah, these are the bands that'll be playing in your.
Are you looking at the website right now?
I'm sorry, Travis. I don't see any Alaska stops on the old Tour de Fat schedule this year. You got to get them up there, man.
That?
Yeah, right. It's missing out. We got Kansas, Minnesota, California.
They've thrown out a lot of good events.
Colorado, Arizona.
Where's our closest Chicago?
Madison. Oh, or Chicago.
We could do both.
Yeah, the roots are in Chicago, Illinois.
We could do both.
Ding!
Yeah, see? He's not as dumb as he looks, folks.
I didn't say what is the roots.
who are the roots?
The roots are from Chicago, aren't they?
I don't know.
But they're in Chicago.
Ah.
Hey, speaking of other past event of the weeky things, we've got searchable results from the Fat Bike Berkey. Whatcha? There's a link in the show notes. Apparently, people did go up there and race, and later in the show, we're going to have Leia talking to us about being the women's bestest. That's going to be fun.
Do we have a Ziegle on the line yet?
You know, Ziegle on the line yet.
I'll shoot him a message.
Right on.
Well, let's take a short break, and when we return, we'll chat with said special guest, Paul Ziegle.
So I heard you need a fat bike. Come to Zion Cyclery in Zion, Illinois. We have all brands, Trek, Borealis, Salsa, Felt, Surly, and more. Yo, we have all the cold weather gears by 45 North and Bontrager. Keep those fingers and toes nice and toasty. We fix bikes also. So you have any problem? Brakes, gears, suspension? We have the best mechanics in town. So yeah, visit us at ZionCycle.com.
You are once again listening to Fat Bike Radio. Hey, welcome back to the radio program, ladies and gentlemen. Through the magic of the lady and the internet, we've got Paul Ziegle on the show, surly brand manager and all-around great guy. Welcome, Paul.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, guy.
Right on, man. It's great to have you on the show. Like we mentioned, Paul is Surly's brand manager, whatever that is, but he's so much more. How about giving our listeners just a bit of a background on what it is you exactly do in this big bike industry of ours?
That's a good question. I'm kind of the
business manager, so do a lot of planning, long-term planning, manage all the staff, our budgets, and then look at, well, where are we going as a brand? What is it that we want to develop? What direction do we want to move in, and just keeping us on track?
So you are That's surly, in other words. You're surly.
He's the brain. He's the head.
I try to be as surly as I can, you know, every day.
So one of the reasons we thought it would be cool to have you on the show, besides your surly connection, is that you participate in the Arrowhead 135 on a regular basis. How many times have you actually done that event?
This year was my fifth attempt at the race. I've finished four times and attempted five times. So participated five times and finished four times. Not all those times have been on bike. I've finished on skis once, and I've attempted on foot once. So.
Wow.
Holy crow.
Three times on the bike.
So needless to say, there's some training you put into that, huh? Every year, every time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of prep. You know, I've always enjoyed being outside in the winter and exercising and riding all winter long, but also ski in the winter, and I like winter camping. So I think a lot of that winter outdoor experience definitely plays into being able to finish the Arrowhead.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of being a Minnesotan. I kind of learned that there. They kind of embrace winter and take it on
to.
And go. Yeah, exactly. Well, or you could be a Milwaukeean and go to the bar.
Well, that works.
But they do that too.
That works for us.
Paul, do you like beer?
Oh, yeah. That's like my biggest carbo loading drink that I have.
All right, excellent. Excellent. Now, what kind of setup did you ride? What bike were you on for the Arrowhead? And give us a little lowdown on kind of what kind of setup you had.
Sure. This year, and the last time I rode the Arrowhead, I was on the truck with 5-inch tires, the Bud and Lou tires. 2 years ago, I rode with 80-mil rims, and this year I chose to run 100-mil, which I kind of prefer the biggest tire and the most aggressive tire, just because when you go to the Arrowhead with all the forecast and all the snow conditions, you still don't know what you're going to get. And I like to be over prepared rather than guessing on it's going to be fast conditions. This year was fast, but they also had forecast a lot of snow, so I wanted to be prepared for the worst conditions. I'm not like racing. I'm mostly just doing it for my own enjoyment and seeing, you know, trying to get to the finish line is used my main goal. So
I was talking to Patrick, who's Paul's nephew, and he was. That's why I had the idea of getting you on the air. I wanted both of you on the air. The stories he was telling was just enthralling. Were there ever any points along your route? I know it happened. Used to happen to me in the Dakota 50. We're like, what the fuck am I doing? Can I just bail out now? Should I just bail out now? What the fuck am I doing? You know. Did you ever hit any of those moments, or did you just keep chucking on?
Oh, yeah. I think those happen every year, and I think you kind of have to prepare for those mentally. You know, my main goal going into it is to actually enjoy the event as long
exactly.
as possible.
Exactly.
I know there's going to be a point when all of a sudden you start to have those self-doubts, and you always question, it's like, why am I doing this? Because it's such a long and challenging race. But the longer I can have a positive attitude and enjoy it, it just makes that whole event more better. This year, I would say it was probably my best ride ever. I don't think usually it's like about halfway or somewhere around halfway, those questions start to come up. This year, I enjoyed myself all the way to the last Surly checkpoint.
And then shit went downhill.
I was still feeling pretty good. And then actually, they had Surly beer there. They offered me whiskey. They're like, you're the first person to take whiskey so far. So that was I'd stayed there
that's,
the longest.
That's surprising.
That was my downfall. Yeah. But I still felt good leaving there. But I would say that last 25 miles, about halfway through there, that's kind of when I hit the wall. But that's pretty far for me to get through that race and still feel pretty good. So it was about as good as it can get for me at the Arrowhead.
Yeah, one of your better times or just one of the better experiences?
It was both. My best time prior to this year was 29 hours, and I cut 11 hours. So
wow, so it was fast this year then, huh?
Yeah, it was real. The first half of the race was very fast. It was like, usually I take some nice breaks at the first two checkpoints because I like to recover, rehydrate, eat some food, you know, just feel like I get motivated to go out again. And this year, it was like my breaks were really quick. I've ate and drank, and I'm like, I'm ready to go. So I saved a lot of time by stopping less. Again, I'm usually not racing it, so it's more for me to, like, I just want to feel good and have fun and enjoy it. And this year I was able to just keep moving and enjoy the race. So I took advantage of that and just kept moving.
So, yeah, you'd mentioned that you've done this several times now, and I can imagine that the conditions vary from year to year quite a bit. So you don't necessarily know what you're going to get into before you get there. If you were going to share a tip for some new folks who are interested in doing a race like the Arrowhead 135, you know, how would you suggest they prepare for something like that, not knowing if it's going to be 30 below or 30 above, and, you know, is it going to be snow or not? How do you get into the game and actually complete something like this event?
Yeah, it's a good question, because you sign up in, you know, October, and you have no idea what it's going to be like up that time of the year. And generally, it's really cold and snowy, but, you know, as we've seen over the last couple of years, weather patterns have changed drastically, so it's even more unpredictable. I would say the best thing is to prepare for all situations, and when you go up there, even prepare for variation the night before the race, you know, because this year they had forecasted significant snowfall, and it didn't really happen. I mean, we got a little bit of snow, but you still got to prepare for that because you're out on the course and you don't know what the weather's going to throw you in northern Minnesota, you know.
Yeah.
And some years they have forecast much snow and you get a lot of snow. So, you know, you have to be prepared for getting wet. You have to be prepared for sub-zero. You kind of have to know how to handle eating and drinking. So, you know, for me, it's always just spending time outdoors, you know, doing long rides in the winter. When it gets really cold out, even though you don't want to go ride, that's the best time to test gear. That's the best time to test clothing, you know.
And you like doing that anyway, dude.
Right, right.
You like that. I think I've seen you ride in some pretty cold weather just for shits and giggles, let alone training.
Yeah. Kind of what I would recommend. You have to prepare for all situations.
If there was one piece of equipment or gear that you had on this year's, because, you know, it's, like you said, it changes every year, what would you say would be the thing that you maybe even remark to yourself, oh, I'm glad I have that, or I'm glad I wore that, or...
You know, this year was tricky because it was almost ideal conditions. The temperature fluctuation was minimal. I don't think temperature fluctuated more than about 10 or 15 degrees, so you really didn't have to change a lot of clothing. I would say one thing is gloves, you know, things that you get that get wet, you know, like your gloves and socks, having those layers that you can change out quickly and not get wet or cold. So I had multiple pairs of gloves and my gloves got wet, and just having a change of gloves is pretty key. Trying to think, there wasn't much this year because, you know, nothing really froze, food or water. I would say in other years, you know, the year I did it on foot one year, I think it was 2014, and that was the coldest year I've ever done it. It was 35 below temps and wind chills and 50 below. That year, you know, I had extra clothing, a lot of extra clothing, and I wore it all. I was wearing every single piece of clothing. So,
oh, Jesus.
I think thinking about extra clothing and having those critical layers and being able to change out layers is pretty important, I would say. And then just knowing what kind of food you can eat, you know. I always bring a variety of food because sometimes your stomach tells you you can't eat something and you want to be able to pick something else. But this year was pretty easy. I don't know if there was anything that was a shining star this year, because I think it was a pretty easy race, and it showed up in the results. I mean, a lot of people broke records, a lot of people broke PRs, you know.
Oh, good.
It was probably one of the easiest races I've done at the Arrowhead. So,
did you ever have to
not
eat
that it was an easy race?
Did you ever have to eat your butter?
No, I've never had to eat my emergency food. <All right. laughs>
So, with Paul, with respect to your gear, are you keen on wool or synthetics or a mixture of both? What do you like for your base and then your outer layers?
Yep, I'm a big fan of wool. I mean, I've kind of converted to my base layers are almost always wool all the time, but I do like some synthetics for insulation and for like wind protection. So generally, I do all wool. Base layer. This year I've usually done the craft storm tights because they got a wind front.
God, those things are so they're the bomb. They are the bomb.
Yeah, they're the best tights ever. And I use them for skiing and running and for pretty much all my winter sports. And then I like the Patagonia R1 fleece because it's pretty thin and it really wicks moisture really good. So I kind of like the wool base layer because it still keeps you warm, but that fleece pulls the moisture away from the wool so it never feels damp. If I do two layers of wool for that long an event, they kind of get a little heavy and wet, so I kind of like a mix. Yeah, but usually on my head and my neck gaiters, I do wool. So.
Right on.
Ziegel, I was just at a bar here in Milwaukee the other day and saw some graffiti that Brower and Trevor put on the wall. Old friends of ours from Surly. any good news around there these days other than the big fat dummy that came out? What's the dummy all about? Is that something I can messenger on, or is that more like going hardcore camping like you nuts?
Which bike? I didn't catch that.
The big fat dummy.
Oh, the big fat dummy. Oh, the Big Fat Dummy is awesome. I've been kind of riding a prototype since we got our first rounds of prototypes, and I actually have mine set up with 29 plus. I had two sets of wheels for my ice cream truck. I had summer wheels and winter wheels, and my summer wheels were
life's rough
29 plus wheels. So I put the 29 plus wheels on my Big Fat Dummy, and my wife and I, Trisha, share that bike, so it's we have a medium and with a dropper post, and so we just kind of, and I have open bars on it. So that's our kind of do-all bike, but I also I've used it for off-road camping, and it's great in the winter when the roads are crappy. So
just because of the long wheelbase?
It's still that utility vehicle for us because it keeps us from getting in the car all the time. But it's great that I can just jump on it and take it off-road and take it camping. I mean, it's one thing to pack up your bike for an overnight. You got to figure out, what stuff fits in what bags.
Right, right.
Big Fat Dummy, you just open the bag, stuff all your stuff in it, and you don't have to worry about, will it fit? How much stuff can I carry? It's so much quicker and easy to do that on. So
That's cool.
That's kind of how we've been using it, and it works great. So.
Cool.
I think everybody's going to find their way to use it, and I think people will use it differently, and that's what's great about that bike.
You should maybe send one down here. I'd love to take one ripping on the beaches. We'll give you a little report on it.
Well, I think we can make that happen. We got one to Spinner for a little while, so I'm sure we can get one in Milwaukee.
Yeah, Spinner's a little bit smaller than me. We should probably have a large up
here.
Yeah,
bring your own damn self down, too. And I was just out in Port the other day, and the beaches are actually looking not bad.
No, not at all. I noticed the river was really high today.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that affects the lake.
I was surprised because we had a southwest wind coming in, which would normally push the water into the shore, and it was like, wow, there's more beach here than I thought.
Yeah. Well, good. So, yeah, Ziegel, get down over here, up across to here, and bring Trevor Clayton and a Sav. You guys could like do a company outing retreat kind of thing.
There you go.
We've got a large in our demo fleet, so we can drop one off.
That would be awesome.
So you mentioned
actually, I could probably come and pick it up. Easter's coming, and you know the Easter Bunny's got to leave some fireworks at your house for your kids.
Oh yeah, that's a good story. Zito, when my sons were like 2 and 4, he dropped a package off on our porch on Easter, and it was to my two sons, and it was a whole brick of Black Cat.
That's funny because I know you and the Z-Man have a have a connection through the Minneapolis connection up there. And I was going to say, do you have a particularly poignant Zito story for our listener? But sounds like you have more than one.
Oh, dude.
Oh, yeah.
When there's a Wednesday night every week in Minneapolis.
Yep. We just went to the Sunrise Inn a week ago Wednesday because they're shutting it down, Zito.
I know. If you don't remember, you guys called. I got an FU call.
That's right. We left you a message.
Yeah.
That's right.
So you guys talked a little bit about the Big Fat Dummy at Surly. You got anything else happening there? I think Zito mentioned that there might be some kind of specials going on rims and whatnot.
Yeah, we're kind of, you know, we're really early adapters in the fat rims, and so we had a large selection of rims, but now there's so many rims on the market, we're kind of narrowing our selection. So we're kind of moving, reduced the price a lot of our older rim inventory, so people are looking to build up some extra set of wheels. There's a lot of our older, like the Large Marge and the Marge Lights and the Daryls and the Clown Shoes are all on sale right now.
So. Do you have any 24-inch Large Marges left?
No, we don't.
Because I know a guy that needs a pair of those because that was a great rim at one point back in the 1x1 days.
Dude, that was a ripper bike.
Yeah.
The
anniversary bike, 1x1 equals 11.
Yep. I had one for several years. That was
I left
good,
mine in Australia.
An awesome pub crawl bike.
I stacked it up on that thing.
Yep.
High speed.
Speed.
Going down a hill, leaning on that thing, going, holy shit. How far? I'm almost. And I was leaning, and I was like, I can't believe this. And then I hit the paint. And the construction workers were like, oh, mate, are you all right? Are you hurt? And it was all scraped up and beat up. And, you know, oh, only my pride.
Skin grows back.
Yeah, exactly. What else is going on up there, Paul? Any good fun winter events or cycling stuff people can check out in Minneapolis coming up?
Well, you know, we've been talking about MMFSSSS, the Minneapolis Metro Coffee Mug Single Speed Series. So you might hear about that this summer. We always have some stuff in the works. We have some new stuff in the works. Nothing I can share yet, but stuff that I think people will get excited about this fall. So.
All right. Excellent. 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 You've been down to one-on-one. How's Gene?
He's good. Saw him at the Wednesday night ride. He's doing good.
Is he? Yeah. I see what happened. You guys did a Wednesday night ride in honor of the closing of the Sunrise. I get it now.
Yes.
I saw the video of someone riding down the stairs.
That was Gino.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. I wasn't going to name names.
Yep. Yeah.
I miss it every day.
I was just going to give Paul a big hearty thanks for being on the show.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for calling in. I'd love to get your nephew on, too.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
Yep. You rule. Oh, hang out if you want to listen and peep in.
Yeah, you can be a lurker. We're going to have the women's fat bike Berkey champion, Leah, on here in just a little bit. So,
and we got Travis on the air.
Travis is still lurking in the
Travis,
background.
You don't ride Surly's, do you?
No, I'm not currently a Surly owner.
All right. You two should meet. I have a feeling that you two would like one another, you and Paul.
Yeah, Travis is our fat ambassador from Alaska, Paul. He's on the horn.
Oh, okay.
He likes to sit back and just listen. Kind of a lurker.
Yeah, but he's always giving us the lowdown of all the cool shit going on in Alaska, too.
Right on.
Ziegle and Greyboy, those guys get boners on stuff like that, the Arrowhead. Hey, let's go punish ourselves. And this will be awesome. If I really fuck up, I can die.
with bears. Yeah. With bar.
Exactly. Zico and Paul, are you still there?
Yeah, I am.
You remember when we both were working at the farm and you came up to me one day and said, hey, you know, listen, if I think they were starting a new warehouse thing, that you were working on this huge project and your time was all gone, and you came up to me and said, you know, if the company paid you and you you know, had the afternoons off and you went and were the nanny for my kids. How fast did Trish ixnay that when you got home? It never evolved. I'm pretty sure Trish went,
No Zito nanny?
No Uncle Zito.
All righty, Paul. Well, hey, thanks again for being on the show. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back to the show, we're going to dive headlong into the Fatty Farm Field Report and a chat with Leia.
All right, Ziegler, I love you, man.
All right, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Whether you carry your bikes on your roof or with a hitch, the best way to get your fat bike to the trail is with a rack from 1UP USA. 1UP USA uses stainless steel hardware on their all-aluminum racks and come with a lifetime warranty. 1UP USA racks are made in the USA, right in Wisconsin. Visit 1UPUSA.com for more information on the fastest loading, highest quality rack solutions.
You are once again listening to Fat Bike Radio. And by cracky, we're back with some semblance of the Fatty Farm Field Report.
The Fatty Farm Field Report is brought to you by 1UP USA. 1UP USA makes the best fat bike rack we've ever tested. We will have a link to our review in the show notes.
And just in time, we've got Leia. Welcome to the show.
And hi, guys.
Congratulations to you on your win at the Fat Bike Berkey this year.
Thank you very much. What a day it was.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, let's just start out and kind of get an idea of how you got into fat bike racing and what led you to race in that there Fat Bike Berkey.
All right. Well, I got into mountain biking, I don't know, 7-8 years ago just for a workout. My main sport was soccer, and I was the gal that was never gonna bike in the cold. There's no way. Don't even try to ask. Don't go there. Don't invite me. Not going to happen. So years and years, I was mountain biking just as a second sport to soccer over the summers and had a blast with it. And then, you know...
Started kicking ass.
It's always about the base, isn't it? So a guy I was interested in, he asked me to go on a bike ride with him, and that's kind of...
There's always a guy.
How a cyclist dork says... you know, will you go out with me? That's kind of how they do it, right?
Yeah.
And so he was signed up for this huge-ass series going on in Wisconsin hosted by Wheel and Sprocket.
Right.
Bike shops.
Yeah, we just had the winner of that on a couple series. Weeks ago.
Yeah, they're awesome. So he says, well, why don't we meet there? And so we'll go and we'll race, and then we'll go for a bike ride on Sunday. All right, sure. So I pull up, I rent a bike from Wheel, I'm in my hiking boots, my sweatpants, a full winter coat, I hop on this, you know, 35-pound Badger bike, and I win the race.
Whoa.
And immediately I'm thinking, this is going to be a really expensive weekend.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. So the next day, I've got a Trek store right near my house. So the next day, I go over to Trek because I had already had a Madone on the road bike and a Top Fuel mountain bike, and I'm thinking I'll go get a Farley.
So you're so kind
I go
of
to the
a bike
store
shop.
And I order
so
up,
you're kind of a bike
I order
shop.
Up a bike that day.
You're kind of a bike shop owner's wet dream, aren't you?
Oh, they love me. I'm like on the spot. You know, just
it sounds like you got some nice bikes
buy.
Too.
There's no research. You know, I don't know components. I don't know any of this stuff. I see someone on a fast bike, and that's the bike I buy.
Nice.
Right? So I order up the bike, and then I get a call later that day from George Kapitz, the owner of Broken Spoke Bikes up in Green Bay.
Our buddy
and
George.
He says, I thought you don't... Yeah, old George. Everyone knows George. He goes, I thought you don't do cold.
Nice.
And, well... Oh, how things change. So he convinced me to cancel the order and get a salsa bear grease through him, and he's going to give me a great deal if I raced for him over the winter. I said, oh, cool. Yeah, all right. Now I got a team to be on. This is awesome. So in one weekend, I quit soccer. I got a new bike.
That shit's bad on your knees anyway.
You know,
soccer's rough on your knees.
New sport. I'm registered for the whole entire series. I mean, I'm riding in the snow constantly. I'm outside all the time. And won the series, and through that was a free entry to the Berkey.
So was this?
So that's
was this,
how I wound up at the Berkey last year.
Right, right. That was last year, not this one that just happened, right? So you
exactly.
did. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so my first time on a fat bike was last winter.
Great.
And, you know, so last year was my first full year of dedicating the time to racing. And I went in, and the course last year was fantastic. I mean, you know, just snow-covered, gorgeous, wide open, rolling hills. I mean, tons of space. You know, you're flying down some of these wide open hills, and it feels like it's like adult sledding. I mean, we're permagrin, and it was hard work, don't get me wrong, but
well, yeah,
I had so much fun doing it.
You know what's interesting about the Fat Bike Berkey course is when we all started mountain biking, you know, 30 years ago, all of our trails were fall line trails like the Berkey course is, but now with, you know, the emphasis on making sure that trails are sustainable and this and that, you don't get those big rolling hills like you used to. Everything's all benched in, and it's a little bit of a different kind of ride. It's, you know, obviously makes the trails handle more people and all, but I'll tell you what, that Fat Bike Berkey course, you want an old school fall line roller coaster, that is one of the coolest things in the world.
Yeah, is there a lot of climbing on that?
Oh, yeah.
That yep. sucks.
There's,
yeah, it, there it, was. There was about 2,500 feet of climbing in 28 miles. So it was a wake-up call there, too.
All right, but you still kicked everyone's ass,
and
right?
Momentum is your friend. So, yeah, last year, how did you do on the traditional course last year?
On the traditional course, I ended up sixth. I had been training pretty decently, but didn't really know what I was into. You know, a lot of these single track races I was in were, you know, it's only 10 miles and there's no climbing and it's just fun weaving in and out of the trees. So this is the welcome to, you know, all out power. And I got these knee problems and I was getting these shots in my knee and I had this
that's from soccer
freaking allergic reaction a couple days before the race and had a hard time even bending it, and I was freaking out. I was so mad and thinking I don't even know if I can race this thing, and just went for it. And you know, once you're in the middle of it, you don't feel any pain. You just go. And had a blast and thought, okay, we're going for it next year.
Fast forward to this year. I mean, obviously, the conditions weren't what traditional Fat Bike Berkey people are looking for, but they made an accommodation for it, and they turned it into a four-lap a race that were approximately, what are they, like a little over 10K per lap, maybe? And I think it changed the character of the race. What did you think between last year and this year when you crushed the competition this year, you know?
It was a completely different race. We went out to pre-ride, and it was a six-mile lap, and we're knowing that we're going to have to do 5 miles, and the ground was so hard and frozen. There was hardly any snow, maybe a couple patches.
So was it icy, or was it icy, or just dirt?
Ice everywhere. There was ice everywhere, and I got to hand it to them. You know, they had to go to a 6 mile loop because they've got all this heavy equipment out there trying to chop up the ice, and there's no way they could do that on 28 miles.
Right, right.
I mean, I saw the sections where they hadn't chopped it off, and it was sheet ice.
Wow, did you go down at all?
Rink. I went down once, but the thing is, I've got the head wheels with the
they're too light.
The Dillinger studs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I took my pressure down to only 5 psi, even though it was a hard ground.
Right.
Knowing that I'm going to want to grip that ice when I need to, and so going in, I'm thinking this is going to be survival of the bike and the person, because you go down on ice, there's no give. I mean that. It will knock the soul right out of you. You can see it flying away.
Right. Was it cooler this year with the course being shorter? Were there more spectators within the race?
I didn't really notice that many because it was only 4 degrees outside.
Oh, shit.
So there wasn't a lot of people out there wanting to watch
this. I didn't realize it was that cold up there. I thought it was nicer. Yeah. Did it? So no one saw you go down, right?
It was cold.
Did anyone see you go down when you went down?
I don't think so. I mean, I was in just a flat section, and it was just a dumb mistake. You take your mind off for 1 second, and you're down.
You were thinking about that boyfriend, weren't you?
You got it. Yeah, I wanted to win. I was just thinking about that win. You know, just go, go, go. But you go down, and you only have seconds to assess the damage. All right, I'm fine. Like, I don't have time to recover. I just have to get back on the bike. Okay, the bike is fine. Let's go. So I didn't even probably lose a minute. I probably lost less than a minute. But then it's the recovery because the wind gets knocked out of you. So as you're biking, I had to slow the pace so I could get my breath back. But yeah. I wasn't so concerned about me going down. I was concerned about everybody else going down in front of me because I've been in these mass start races before, and you hug some wheels too tightly, and they go down, you're down with them.
Yeah.
And I knew that there's going to be people falling left and right during this race. There's no way very many of us were getting out with at least one crash, not with that ice. And then there was a lot where sections where there was ice and was a downhill and then leading into a curve.
Oh, yeah, that's
hot. I mean,
prime for... That's hot action.
Yeah.
That's three.
I mean,
that's 1 foot down, just slide.
Oh, yeah. And so right out the gates, the pace, you know, it's fast and you're trying to shimmy and I got, you know, a girl in sight, but I'm wanting to back off. I'm not wanting to hug anyone too tight. I'm playing pretty defensively because I've lost races at the beginning, but never won. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you should lose a race at the beginning of it.
You could teach those NASCAR guys a trick or two.
Yeah,
it's not one in the first. It's not one in the first corner there, sir.
Yeah, you're not going to win it there. So I was playing it defensively, not trying to get too close to anybody. And sure enough, that strategy worked in my favor because we weren't even out of the prologue till a dude spilled it right in front of me on a downhill, and I got a maneuver around him.
Yeah.
And then another 5 minutes later, same thing happens. Guy goes down, and fortunately, I was able to react because I had that 5 yards to work with, whereas if I was hugging wheel, I'm going down too.
You know what they do in Minneapolis when someone
goes
down?
The girl I was going, you know, racing with, she ended up doing the same thing. I'm on her wheel, and a guy out of a wave passes us. She hops on his wheel, I'm on hers, and we get to a downhill, and I'm thinking, I'm not liking this. I'm not liking it. I don't know him. I don't trust him. I trust her. I don't trust him. Sure enough, they both go down.
You know what they do in Minneapolis when they go down in front of you? Is they just ride over either you or your bike.
Yeah, they're wide open.
Especially, and that's like, oh,
bike
down,
bike
down,
hit the entire course.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's fun.
So,
I mean, I'm in the trees trying to get by.
So, you know, the men's race was decided by like 3 seconds. You were over a minute ahead of your closest rival. Was it this crashing business that gave you that gap, or are you just that powerful?
I don't know what happened with the girls behind me. I never even saw them. And that's, you know,
a one-minute lead
is super dangerous. It's super dangerous. You make one mistake, and they're going to catch you.
Oh, yeah.
You start slowing the pace, and they're speeding up the pace. They're in striking distance. And then the problem is, you never know that they're there, because 1 minute back is far enough away that you don't even see them.
Was Lindsey Crete there?
The entire race, I'm... Hmm?
Was Lindsey Crete there?
Say what? She wasn't at this race. She likes the road. She does a lot of road, and she does a couple mountain bike races a year.
Yeah, I throw a little race down here in Milwaukee, the Urban Jungle Cross, and she pretty much killed it on a fat bike against cross. Oh yeah, she's a machine. I'd say she's a machine.
I'm a guy. Machine. I've had my fill of her in a couple mountain bike races this summer.
Yeah, she's tough. She's a tough cookie.
Yeah, tough, definitely.
Right on. Now, you should come down. Zito's going to run another Urban Jungle Cross down here.
Patrick Ziegel, the nephew of Paul, and I were just out there about 3 weeks ago, kind of scouting out a totally new cross. We're going to take it.
Do you have a date yet for it?
No, I got to look at the schedule.
It's going to be early spring.
Yeah, early spring.
Well, that's now. So late spring.
May. It'll be May. Maybe the second week in maybe the second
no,
week
it's
in May.
Be October.
Make a trip over here.
Oh, maybe January.
No, Leia, it'll be May.
Make a trip over here and do the Urban Jungle Cross.
I'm going to try and get as many in as I can before they shut it
yeah,
down.
Yeah, the thing is, this place we do this at is it's in danger of being swallowed up by development, and while we still have it, it's definitely worth doing a race at.
While it's still a toxic brown zone.
While it's still a super fun
yeah,
site.
Yeah, I mean, if it's an open weekend, I'd love to.
It's always open.
I love racing.
And we're going to try and get some good prizes.
I'll race every day.
Atta girl.
Right on, Leia. Well, you know, thanks for being on the show.
Wait. Do you ever do fat bike time on the beach?
Not yet. But considering how crappy this winter was and how cold, this is some of the days where I'm considering it.
Yeah, you should come over to Milwaukee sometime, and we'll take you for a little rip down one of the beaches, maybe go up to Port Washington or something. It'd be fun to have you out for a fatbike.com.
Not for a race, though.
No, it's not a race, dude. It's a race to the next beer stop.
But it will
That's
be
about
a race.
It.
I mean...
Well, it's pretty much a straight line unless you stop and make jumps and have fun and cross the creek.
Do derbies. And
derbies, yeah.
Well, as long as someone makes a Strava segment out of it, we can turn it into a race.
Okay. Yeah.
Strava destroying every recovery ride.
Leah, do you take the pot?
The death of recovery rides.
Do you take the pot?
Hmm?
Do you take the pot?
Do I take the pot? Like, yeah. Do I smoke weed?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can answer that. You know, my
No comment. Then, now that you bring up your boss, we won't even ask you where you worked. All right. I just want to check.
But
that's
Milwaukee
kind of what
is
the
in
beach
my backyard.
It is right there.
Yeah. No, we're far enough away where they'll never smell it.
Do you know Patrick Siegel?
They'll never know. That's why I usually go to the Dells. No one will ever know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Las Vegas of the Midwest. All right, lady. Thank you very much for being on the show.
I appreciate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun. You're a
Thanks
great
for
guest.
Letting me tell my story.
Anytime. We're here sometimes, and other times we're not. But
you're
always welcome when we are.
Are you still with that guy?
All right. Yes, I am. His name is Ryan.
All right.
I had to plug his name so he knows he got added to the storyline.
All right.
Do you love him?
It's your Uncle Zito.
He's in Green Bay, though.
Oh, is he bigger than me? I mean, like, can he beat me up?
I don't think so. He's pretty fast, too.
All right.
He's a cyclist.
Does he have a gun?
he's got a couple rifles.
All right. Yeah. I'm not a pistol.
I don't know if you're faster than a bullet.
I'm not fast.
All righty, then.
He will catch you, and he's got aim.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for coming on the show. It was great to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. And I'm excited to hear it. And best of luck, you guys.
Yeah, you too. We'll talk to you again. Thanks, Leah.
Yep, bye.
Cheers. Keep on killing it. Can I have a beer, please?
Beer?
Yeah. Could you turn up the track a little bit, please?
What do we got next on this?
Beer? I don't know. What's this
she
spring?
She seems like a pretty kick-ass chick.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think she would enjoy the beach ride. She could be like, who's the limey kid?
Adrian.
Where he said, where we lined up. All right, next, last one to Clody Park loses. And he beat us all. I showed up at the bar 2 days later and... Oh, Adrian was in here saying he kicked all your asses the other day on the beach. I was like, yeah, he kicked
out of our asses.
We missed about three derbies and six couple of beer stops. There's some bonfires.
Mm-hmm. What's this spring 2017 pop quiz? Which one? Did one of you guys put it in?
No.
I don't think I did.
Maybe it was a Phantom Gomez thing, maybe. So here's the pop quiz. Travis, you're still with us, buddy, right?
Yeah.
All right, so here's the pop quiz. Don't know where it came from. But do you hang up the fatty and ride something completely different in the spring?
No.
Okay. Do you throw 27.5 or 29-plus wheels on your fat bike?
I will be trying that for the first time this year once the snow melts, yeah.
Right on. Question C.
27.5-plus.
Cool, yeah, good call. Question C, kind of the same thing, so I'm going to skip over that one. I'm going to skip over that one. And all of the above or none of the above. All right. Apparently, I did that wrong. But basically, I think the whole gist of this thing is do you ride fat all year, or are you going to go to a plus bike wheel in the summer now on your primary fat bike rig? Doesn't mean you don't already own a plus bike, which many of us do. But, you know.
What's a plus bike?
A Krampus.
Oh, yeah.
Or any other 27 or 29 plus 3-inch size tire, wheelie tire bike.
I wasn't
bike.
Sure what you were referring to as a 29 plus.
It's the other bike that you have plus the other one that you have.
Right. All right, I'm back.
All right, so Zito has a Krampus as well as a Mooney.
It's my, I have a Crosscheck and a Bianchi track bike with drop bars, one of those pistas they put out, and I work on my cross bike and on the fixed gear, but the bike that I really have fallen in love with is that Krampus. It's the most forgiving bike I've ever. I can't recall crashing. I can't recall crashing that bike. I crash every bike I have. I mean, but I just, it's so forgiving that it's. It's remarkable what a great bike it is, and it's so much fun. It's just, it's braptacular. It's effing braptacular.
Yeah, I think if I were as tall as you, I'd be on the 29 plus thing. I definitely like the 27 plus thing, and my big problem with my main 27 plus bike is I left it in Las Vegas last time I was up there.
Oh.
Fortunately, I'm going out there in a week again for 5 weeks, so
all right.
I'm going to be able to take on the wide open Las Vegas wilderness on a plus bike.
Ugh.
And that sound means that it's time to wrap this show up.
Hold on. I want to talk about the Krampus a little bit. Really, it is you got to ride it like a single speed. Someone said, it's really heavy. And I was like, well, it's heavy, yeah. But once you get that momentum rolling and you just keep the cadence going, you ride it like a single speed. It's like a single speed with gears. I mean, you can draft a bus going 25-30, or you can, go up and down stairs handily.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Handily. It's just a great all-round bike. You can ride those. I found the canards were the best, where you pump them up to a high pressure, and they roll just almost as well as a slick. And
canard.
Canard.
And the canards. Anyway, it's a great bike, I can't say enough about it.
You have said enough about it.
All right, well, I could say a little bit more.
It's green.
My rear wheel got backed into by a delivery truck the other day.
Oh, yeah, you talked about that a little bit earlier.
And, yeah, it sucked. He just tagged, and I saw him. I was sitting in the window doing the Times crossword. Look at me. All right, he bumped it. No big deal. Sunday morning, I'm not going to hassle this guy in the delivery truck or the service. And I went outside, and he more than bumped it.
Bummer. We'll have to figure out a way to get you a new wheel.
Yeah, I might have to. Hey, Paul. Yeah, Paul's not still listening, is he?
Nope.
He hung out. He's got kids and shit. His kids are driving and shit. I remember when they were little kids. Nice family, that Ziegel family. Is anybody still there? Travis, you there?
Yeah.
Welcome back. Sorry, I didn't mean to wake you up, Travis.
Dulcet tones, yeah.
Hold on. Beer o'clock.
All right, folks. It's that time again.
Wrap it up.
Our show this evening has been brought to you by the Bikes, Parts, and Chaos of Surly Bikes. Learn more at surlybikes.com.
Rubber side down.
Call 818-918-2453 anytime, day or night, and leave us a message,
Till then.
Till then.
Tally-ho.
Hi, Travis.
Tally-ho.
All right, guys. Catch up with you next time.
Thanks, brother. Have a good one.
Yeah, man. Take care up there. We still want to see you down here.
Will do, man. Yeah. Yeah. We just changed the tickets, man. So we're just postponing the trip for a year.
All right. I want to come up there, too.
Yep. We'll count the days.
I can completely hook you up with that.
Right on.
And I highly recommend, if you want to ride Alaska on snow, come in March. It's the most epic month.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Next week or next time. Next time.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Can't we do a remote show from somewhere?
All right. Later, guys.
And we're out of here.
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's weekly dose of fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.